You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke to Kātuku Island's lead developer, Dr. Phyllis Callahan. This is because the game Kātuku Island was released on mobile devices on Thursday. It is the first fully Māori video game, having been developed on a Mātauranga Māori lens and including challenges like carving, art and te reo. We talked about the significance of this game and how it was influenced by her education background. To start, I asked you to give a brief overview of what the game is about.
So the game is about the world ends, basically the largest city in the world, and you have to make your way to the only uncontaminated island left in the world in the South Pacific, and that island is called Kātuku. So on the way, you face some challenges, and then when you get there, you have to kind of like collaborate with a clan or other gang members to survive everything that the island has to throw at you. And the unique, I guess, element about Kātuku and what makes it a world first is that it's the first time an Indigenous gaming app has been done from start to finish from a Mātauranga Māori lens. So everything that you see throughout the game, the avatars are Māori, the background, the whakairo is all Māori. The creatures that you see in the game, most of them are Māori.
So what is the importance then of a game that is so focused on Indigenous and particularly Māori culture?
I think the important part about us is that, it gives access to the world to come and experience Māori culture. So it exports our culture throughout the world. But the other point about that is that Indigenous people often who've been colonised actually lead a lot of the negative stats. So in terms of education, in terms of incarceration, in terms of housing, in terms of income, we're often at the bottom. So the importance about bringing that Mātauranga Māori or that Māori lens into those spaces is that it helps to change those stats, and it helps, for example, to normalise success and that, hey, you know what, we can be really good at what we do through our arts, through our toy, and we can also be awesome within the education space and technology. So it's about growing that self-efficacy. It's about growing that brand, Māori brand, normalising our culture and having the realisation or realising the potential that we can be good not only in our own country but also globally.
Yeah, because you speak on that, you speak on the importance of education and self-determination almost. Has your background in Māori education influenced this game and how it's been made?
Yeah, absolutely. So myself and my husband combined 40 years in the education system. And that was one of our biggest aims throughout our history, was to improve the stats for Māori in the education system. So we noticed that there were a lot of disconnected and disenfranchised Māori youth at the school's mainstream kura that we worked at. So it was about finding better mechanisms within the system that could actually help them improve their journey. And a lot of them were often like behind, or because their lived experiences weren't connecting with the subject areas, they were finding it really hard to connect into those subjects. So I guess the foundational stuff that they needed to make those connections weren't there because it wasn't replicating the experiences or the everyday life. I mean, I can give you an example. For example, if you had young men from, you know, that came from gangs, within that there's experiences. You know, they go home, they use metaphors, they use similes, they use adjectives, but often that side of their life had to be left at the door. So, I mean, they come into the classroom, then what foundations have they got and what can they connect to into that subject area if their whole life experiences, if they've been told to leave that at the door? So that's just one example.
Yep. How come you decided upon a video game for this? Because I saw that you said before the script was initially written for a TV show. Why was a mobile game decided as the best option for what you're trying to achieve?
Because we did a publication called The 16-Year-Old Māori Boy. So So that was achieving literacy through a cultural lens. So that had combined the years of masters and doctoral research and all our practical teaching experience. So we had a business colleague who worked at Callaghan Innovation who was mentoring us, and they actually said to us, look, the publication, the book is really well, but the world's moving really quickly. How can you bring this publication into the technological space and all the years of research that you've been doing? But we also, so as well as that, we also understood that Māori were end users of technology, but they weren't the front-end users. So we also saw this as a huge opportunity to take this out to our marais, our hapū and our iwi, and to also grow the skills and the within our rangatahi to not only design the games in terms of the backdrops and the avatars and stuff, but also our aim is to develop skills within the software and the coding. At the moment, we've had to give our deployment to an international company because we canvassed 10 companies throughout New Zealand to make this game, but it was just too big for the New Zealand companies that we had canvassed. So ultimately what we want to do is also bring those skills back here to New Zealand and then become the indigenous gaming capital of the world.
Yeah, because you mentioned that. You mentioned the lack of support from within New Zealand. Is there a need for more funding and more government support to ensure that there's proper Māori representation in the video game industry?
Oh, absolutely. And I think also Māori women within the tech space, I think there needs to be a lot more support for that. It's interesting, like we get told that technology is the growth industry, especially post-COVID, that we need to be looking at growing our technical expertise and we need to be making this work because we're sort of moving into that virtual world where travel is restricted. But actually when you do make an international first, and the feedback that we're getting back, by the way, has been really, really positive, and everybody wants more of the game, it's kind of limited in terms of funding. And I said when I delivered my speech for the opening at the Marae on Thursday in Gisborne here, I said it's not like jumping through hoops for us. It's actually been like scaling the Himalayas there. And when you do go to funding agencies to get the support, it's almost very difficult for those agencies to kind of understand the concept of what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go. But at the end of the day, if we're growing our culture internationally and it's being done in a holistic way, and it gives the world a really huge insight into New Zealand, because that's only going to grow our brand globally, it's like it should be something, I believe, that is better supported, because it's also going to give us massive social, cultural and economic outcomes from it as well. And also we can become world leaders in terms of the technological space and in terms of indigenous gaming, because I think that that's a market that hasn't been tapped. So I think New Zealand, if we were onto it, we should be taking full advantage of that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.